So, Father, we just we thank you for just another night to come together in fellowship and just to be in one accord and to praise you. And we just thank you for this night. We thank you for just blessing what comes forth tonight, Lord. Just put it on our hearts what we need to share, what we need to bring forth. And we just thank you for just everybody in the room, just for blessing them and blessing their growth in you. And, Father, we just thank you. For this night, we bind up the principalities and powers of, you know, trying to bring any issues in our equipment or software or distractions. We just forbid that. We just call the bandwidth to be perfect, the mics to be perfect, and no issues. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's, does anybody have any specific prayer requests? Or need prayer, or want to pray? Okay. Well, real quick, I want to pray for Holly. Holly is Kevin. You know, he works. You know, works in the ministry, but you know, she had some respiratory issues. Ended up in the hospital, and in the beginning, her vitals were looking really bad, and that her oxygen was low, and a lot of different things, and I got a text from David and actually talked to him. He's at the hospital now. And it was just kind of funny because they would say, you know, her oxygen is, I don't know what it was, 85 or something like that. And David would go, nope, it's 90. And, you know, so they kept, you know, he kept doing that, you know, just claiming the good report, came a good report. And they said they left the room and they came back and it was like 91. And so all her vitals are turning around, and so we just give the Lord praise on that. So let's just lift up Holly, and so Father, we just come to you, and we put our faith together for Holly, and we just thank you for the awesome miracle you're doing in her right now, Lord. And Lord, we come against the bad report. We forbid it in the name of Jesus. We come against the curses that the world speaks, that doctors speak, that we're accustomed to. And we break every curse spoken over her right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for just the miracles that you're doing. We thank you for just healing her vitals and turning her vitals around and, you know, bringing her blood pressure in line and her oxygen in line. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you for working in Kevin, and we just thank you for just putting him in just your peace, Lord. We just come against any fear, any doubt, any unbelief. We just bind those spirits right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for just filling him fully your faith, and just give him the boldness to discern the enemy and discern these lying spirits. And we just thank you for just all you're doing right now, Lord. And we just praise you in Jesus' name. I don't know, Michael, is there anything else you want to pray?
Yeah. You know, We've been praying. We've already prayed the prayer of faith for Holly, and we believe. And you know something, Kevin got, I believe, a great breakthrough today as far as his faith goes. He got an infusion of faith and grace from the Lord today. And I'm telling you, he is speaking faith right and left, and it's just awesome to watch. What would happen this afternoon, we would pray when the doctor or something would come in, and they'd say, you know, we'd ask the nurse, what is it we need to pray about? And this is what's so cool. The nurse was so accommodating to us. She said, well, you need to pray for this, and you need to pray for that, and we pray for it. And just almost immediately, whatever it was we prayed for would happen. Like Tim was talking about, oxygen would come up or whatever it was. It didn't make any difference what it was. When we prayed, it would come up. And it was just awesome to watch God work. And we're watching a miracle here. We're just watching a great miracle happening before our eyes. And I just praise God for it. I praise you, Lord, that Holly is already healed. delivered, and set free. And I praise you, Lord, that you have placed this great and bold faith in Kevin. And I praise you, Lord, that you are doing exactly what you want to do in Holly. And it's going to be a great and wonderful testimony to your grace and mercy upon her and upon us, because, Lord, we know that it's a mighty, mighty miracle that you're performing here in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So what we want everyone to do is to keep praying for her. Keep praying that everything that the doctor says that she needs to do, that it will happen. And that's what we're doing. And we're just praising God for it. We're thanking him for it. And boy, we're just watching a miracle in the making right now. Praise God. That's all, Kim.
Yeah, I spent the night last night in the hospital with Kevin. And it was kind of interesting, because we would go into the room, you know, where his wife was. And the doctors and everybody are just, you know, speaking the bad report and all that. And you could just feel the spiritual oppression just kind of just squeezing you, you know, when you're in that situation. And we would end up leaving there, and we found a little waiting room, you know, like a small waiting room where nobody else, you know, was at. And we would just go in there, and we would just start praying, just start speaking faith. We were just praying in the spirit, you know, just praying in tongues, just you know, just going into spiritual warfare. And we would get this, you know, this boldness built back up on us, and you know, this faith. And then we would go in and just, you know, and, you know, go lay hands on and Holly and just start praying over and stuff like that. But you know, after a time, that oppression, you know, you just, and I know exactly what Garrett was sharing the other day, you know, as far as just dealing with the, you know, the bad report and the speaking of the curse and going by what you see and going by what you hear, and you got the monitors beeping and, you know, all this stuff going on. And it's a matter of, you know, just fighting to stay in the spirit. And we ended up having to do that most of the night, is leaving, going back in, praying, getting prayed up, and then, you know, going back into the room. And it was, you know, it was pretty awesome, you know, as far as with that. But then I saw where the family starts calling. And, you know, the people with that aren't believers or church Christians or whatever it is, they start calling. And I was seeing where it was drawing Kevin into the emotions, which is the flesh, you know. And it was just, you know, that you would see the emotion starts, you know, working. And then the next thing you know, you hear the condemnation, shoulda, coulda, woulda type stuff starting to come out. And, you know, it was stealing his faith. And it's the same thing with us, is it's just, you know, the enemy, you know, he's just, you know, the curse is being spoken all around us. And, you know, we've got to just keep our eyes on the Lord. We got to keep our eyes on the promise. We got to keep claiming that. And when you're in a situation like that, you're in a place of total weakness. And I see the only thing you've got to hang on to is faith, because there's absolutely nothing you can do but pray. And I was able to stay real strong and just stay, you know, praying in the spirit and stuff like that. But when you're, you know, one of your best friends starts breaking down emotionally, I was seeing where I started to get drawn into those emotions. I started to get sad, and, you know, you know, I started getting pulled away, and then I had to fight to get back. And so I was really getting a good kind of a course here on how powerful you can get sucked into your emotions and get sucked into where you don't want to be and be pulled out of faith. And then I would just get quiet and I would just be praying in the spirit, and I could see where the enemy would plant these little seeds of doubt, you know, these little seeds of, you know, well, you know, what if this happens, or what if this, and if you grab any of those seeds and start entertaining that seed, you're going to get pulled in, you're going to get pulled out of faith, and you're going to go down a trail that you don't want to be on. And I would have to cast that thought down and then say, nope, you know, I'm not going there. Just kind of repent and just get right back and just get my eyes focused back on the Lord. And it's like a rodeo ride sometimes when you're in, you know, the heat of that situation, and you're trying to stay, you know, focused on the reins, and you're getting bounced all over the place and, you know, drawn here in emotions and this and this and this. So it's kind of interesting, but I was really seeing what Garrett was talking about is when you walk into, you know, that Babylon and everybody's speaking the curse, how you just got to cast everything down and you just got to go by what the word says. You just got to stand on that word and you know, it's a trial of your faith.
Yeah, ITM.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you know, something that I recognize today is the more that you have around you in a situation like this, the more that you exercise your faith. And when it's just one or two of you or something like that, you know, I'm like you, you know, you can get sucked in that feeling. But when there's four or five of you laying around, you know, and say a doctor comes in and says, well, this is going to happen or that's going to happen or whatever, you know, it don't make no difference what it is. If it's always negative from coming out of a doctor's mouth, because they're trying to cover themselves from anything. So everything that they say is negative. But when you've got four or five people in there and that, you know, and somebody said, well, no, that, we're not going to accept that. We're going to go by faith. We're going to go by what the Word of God says. And boy, then everybody just jumps up. That's right. We're going to do that. And we'll grab hands and went to pray. And you know, one person might do it one time and another person might do it another time. And eventually we all come to recognize that, hey, we got to get in the rest here. We believe the Word of God over and above what man tells us. And I'm telling you, when you get that feeling that you know God's there, there ain't nothing going to stop you, God, from doing the healing, the miracle, or whatever it is that you want. So it's always real good to have as many around you as you can that has faith, not the unbelievers, but the believers. And when you do that, boy, I'm telling you what, Tim, yourself, the night that, here a while back, we had the same thing happening, you know, and there was enough of us in there that said, no, that ain't going to happen in Jesus' name. He's going to come out of this thing. And so that's why I say it's if you can get as many believers around you as possible, even three or four, to make any difference. But what makes a difference is stout believers that will edify one another and bring one another into that. You know, we don't have to believe that. We don't have to believe a thing that the enemy tells us. And that's the enemy's report. That's a bad report. That's the giants out there that they saw that they couldn't whip. Well, we're in a giant situation here, but the giants are going to be taken care of. We're Joshua's and we're Caleb. We're going into that land. We're going to reclaim the land from them in Jesus' name. And that's where we are. And that's where all of us need to be, is where, like Tim was talking about, when we pray and we pray in faith, boy, I'm telling you something, mighty miracles happen, mighty miracles. And that's what we're looking at right now. We're looking at a mighty miracle. Did you tell them the story about Jimmy? Tim?
No, I think we did a last conference call.
Okay.
Did we do that Tuesday night? Yeah.
Well, Garrett, you know, called Gabe. Gabe talked to him the other day, yesterday, I believe it was. And the Jimmy guy, everybody knows what we're talking about, the guy that got knocked out of a tree with a limb, and it killed him. He was dead when he hit the ground, and he was out for about 35 minutes, at least 35 minutes. And doctors gave no hope for him, that this man is not going to live. And the man is on the way to complete recovery. And so there you go. It's because of the faith of people like y'all and us. We all get together and we pray, and those giants got to leave, boy, I'm telling you. Amen.
Amen. No, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point, because I would consider, you know, Kevin just, you know, I mean, he's a spiritual warrior, and he's a pretty solid guy in his faith. And, you know, when you're around people, but even if you're solid in your faith, you can get pulled down with doubt, unbelief, or emotions, or whatever it is. And that's really what the body is for, because I was seeing him all of a sudden sliding down the slope, and, you know, he was on the phone with one of his family, and it was he was just getting pulled into what happened to so-and-so, and, you know, all these old stories and that, and it pulls you into that emotion, and I just saw him sliding down the slope. So I had to go over there and just talk to him. And I just, you know, when he was on the phone, I didn't want to interrupt his phone, but I just went and stood behind him, put my hand on him, and just started praying and binding up those spirits. And, you know, but I see, and that's the whole idea of this conference, that you can't, if you're in a trial, you need other believers, and you need strong believers, or you need testimonies. You know, somebody can share a testimony, say, "Hey, I was there," and that's the other thing that's what we spoke, you know, all night, is just bringing up testimonies about you know, different situations, and, you know, just counterattacking what the doctors are saying with testimonies that we know from, you know, like Jimmy or people at the conference or stuff David's brought up. I mean, when David came in this morning, he was sharing testimonies of, you know, something we've heard is, you know, when he found the guy, you know, when he got in the car wreck and the guy had, you know, all this blood pouring out of him, and he just prayed over him. He didn't check his pulse. I mean, the guy was cold out, you know, just had a pile of blood there, and he just prayed over him, and the ambulance whooped him up and took him off, and then he called the hospital, and the guy was released because they couldn't find anything wrong with him. And it was like, I mean, he was sharing that more in detail today, where you pray, and, you know, sometimes, you know, God just does stuff. And what I was really seeing is I was talking to some of the nurses, and I was talking to them about miracles and have you seen miracles and that. And I was really seeing where they've seen miracles. I mean, this one nurse shared with me that they had a lady that they were basically totally given up on. She wasn't responding to anything. And, you know, there was just no response in anything. And she walked into the room, and the lady's eyes are awake. I mean, she's totally awake, totally coherent. And, you know, she called the doctor and told her what had happened, and nobody could believe it. I mean, it was just one of those situations that, you know, she just saw that. But then as I'm talking to them, I'm seeing where there's a lot more miracles, but they're not giving God the glory. They think that it's their works, what they're doing, stuff like that. The man is taking the glory in these situations. So I was seeing kind of both sides of that, where they can't really see the miracles of God because of their education. And even, you know, even when Michael was, you know, what he was talking, we've been in other situations where it looks desperate and we're with believers and we're praying. And then somebody with knowledge comes in, somebody that, you know, used to be a nurse or, you know, used to this and that. And all of a sudden they start, you know, sharing their knowledge of what is going on in the visual. And it starts pulling away at everybody's faith. You know, it's just because they don't have the faith, and they're seeing it in the natural, and they start speaking that, they can, you know, they start to pull everybody that way. So it's like a tug of war, you know, that you're in as far as that when you're in these situations. But that's, you know, that's the key thing here is, you know, we come together. If anybody's in a trial, if anybody needs prayer, you know, don't try to do it on your own, because if you're pulled into the emotions of it, or if you're just, you know, in doubt and unbelief, you need some other stronger, you know, brethren that can, you know, believe with you, pray with you, share a testimony. And we've seen it, I mean, how many times in this conference, I mean, just answered prayer. So it's a good lesson as far as, part of the walk of faith. Amen.
Rick.
So, Malcolm, did you want to share something?
I was just going to say, I called Michael right at the, I guess it was the moment of truth yesterday, and he said, Holly's not breathing, please pray. And I didn't have time to find out Holly who, and I called a few people, but so pumped about how things have gone. It's so exciting to hear you folks talking about this.
What Garrett was saying is, it's not exactly, I mean, that, you know, the first occurrence of that is one thing, but walking it out when you're being bombarded with all these different things is really what the key is. Is really when you're getting hit from every angle with the curse and with the bad report and with doubt and, you know, family and emotions and all this stuff comes flooding in. Can you stand strong in your faith? Because that's really where the Lord needs us to be in the days to come. It's just, you know, he's teaching us not to go by what we see. We just can't do that, or we're going to get pulled down with everybody else is the main key I'm seeing here. Do you see that, Michael Hare?
Amen. I've noticed through these many trials we've been through here, we had a great big one here a few, many, many months ago, probably a year ago. And I learned a lot by that. I learned a lot in myself that I can get sucked up into that bad report business. And we all can if it's somebody that you love, you know. It's real easy to get sucked in. Oh, my goodness. This is bad. This ain't good, you know. And you get into that mode. But then you have to go back to your basics. And that basic is the Word of God and what it says in Mark 11:24. You know, all of you know that. When you pray and you believe what you pray, you're going to have it. So we regrouped and started speaking the blessing. We started speaking the word. And when you start speaking the word, miracles start happening. And so we can't get sucked in to what the world says. We only have one standard that we as Christians and believers, that's the big key right there, as believers have, and that's the Word of God. If the Word of God says it, there's more truth in the Word of God than anything that you see or hear in the world. The Lord, the Word talks about that all through the Bible. The Word is our standard, and we have to hold on to it. That's all we got. We don't have nothing else. If the doctor comes in and says, there's no hope, this man is not going to live. His skull is cracked, his back is broken, this is happening, don't believe it. Well, doctor, you know, that's what you see. But I believe what the Lord God Almighty says. He says, by his stripes you are healed. He's already been healed. And you grab onto that and you run with it. And you just believe it. And you start thanking God. You start thanking God and praising God for whomever it is that you're praying for. And don't listen to them. And you have to make that confession before men, just like Kevin was doing this afternoon, Tim. It just amazed me, the transformation in him. Once that faith kicked in, he started telling the nurses that come in, you know, and they'd say this. He said, well, you know, I know that you believe that, but here's what my God says. And he's in that vein, when you confess God before men, miracles happen. And that's what we saw. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, I saw him starting to do that. you know, as far as, I mean, the doctors would say something. He's like, no, I'm not accepting that. I'm believing this. And you could see the doctor just like shaking his head, like, you know, who is this nut, you know? And the thing was, is there was just, at times there was such a boldness where there'd be nurses in there and I would just be, you know, in the past, I would want to just, you know, not hear me, you know, praying in the spirit or anything like that, or even, you know, praying with boldness. But it's just, you know, that's fear of man. And it was like, I was seeing where none of that mattered. It was like, you know, we're just going to command this. We're just, you know, speaking it. We're just praying it. And, but you know, but there is a spirit. It was just, we would be in there and you just feel that, you know, like that spirit just trying to push back in, you know, so it's awesome. Were you going to say something, Michael?
Yeah. again, it takes the body to help someone get through to that point. And that's why it is necessary that you surround your, when you have a crisis in your life, man, you need to make some phone calls and get some people over or call them and pray with them, because you're not alone. And when you do that, remember this, one sends 1,000, two sends 10,000 to flight. So remember that. And always when you're in a crisis, call a great and good friend and believer that'll believe with you. And I'm telling you, you'll see miracles. Don't succumb to that natural. Don't succumb to that word that the enemy is trying to put in your ear. I'm telling you, it works. We've seen it happen time and time and time again. Time and time and time again. Praise God.
Amen. Yeah, and if somebody starts, if you call somebody and they start, you know, succumbing to your flesh, oh, it's going to be all right. I mean, or start agreeing with you, and that's not what you need. You need faith. You need to hang up with that person and find somebody that can pray with you, speak faith with you. You know,
True words never spoken.
Right?
That's right, man. Ring that phone up and listen. I don't
hang
need
up.
This. I'll talk to you later.
So,
I mean,
what's that?
I didn't know if I was coming through or not. I guess sometimes I come through when I don't want to come through, when my something happens. We were on the phone here, and then other times. Anyway, I wondering about Jesus, the way he dealt with. Sometimes he limited the disciples that came in with him to a situation, and it's, if I remember correctly, every time he did that, it was a situation where the person had already died. I think that was usually the case, is the person had already died or they were close to death. And he, like in the one girl's situation, brought just the parents, and I think these disciples put everybody else out. So I guess part of my question is, considering Jesus' walk with the Father, it's kind of doubtful to me that he was doing that for his sake, his own sake, his own faith's sake, because the Bible says he was, Spirit was poured out and unlimited to him. Maybe it was for the disciples' sake and also for the parents' sake. Although the parents, of all people, were the ones most likely to, because they're so emotionally involved, to have possibly to have a doubt creeping in there because they were so involved. Like you were saying, you know, with Kevin and other people that are close to the situation.
Yeah, Michael Hare, didn't you have a testimony about somebody that threw everybody out that didn't have belief or something?
Yeah. Well, if you remember that story, Malcolm, the Lord, when he walked in there, they said, she's dead. He said, no, she's just sleeping. She's just sleeping, man. And they laughed at him. You remember that? He said, now get them all out of here that were laughed. You know, I'm just picturing what in my mind happened.
Yeah, I think it said it laughed to scorn or something like that.
Yeah, and the Lord said, and Jesus told him, said, get them out of here. I'm going to show you something. All I need in here is mom and daddy, because they're going to have faith, because it's their daughter. They're sleeping on that bed. And they're going to believe anything that Jesus tells them, because they want to see that child come up out of that bed. And so that's what happened. You saw Jesus come in there speaking faith already before he ever sees the girl. He's speaking the end from the beginning. Those things that are not as though they were. That's what he was doing when he went in there. And once he got in there and he got all that unbelief and negativism out of there, he went to work. He told her, come up out of there, girl. And she did. That's what happened there. Now, I had a case one time. My best friend had a stroke. Well, I'll tell about Curry Blake. Some of you may know who he is. He's the overseer of John G. Lake Ministries out of Dallas, not the one in Spokane. That's the illegal one up there, but the one out of Dallas. But anyway, Curry's daughter was a baby, and she fell out of a second floor window in his house and hit the concrete driveway. And of course she was dead when she hit the concrete. And he was in the kitchen at the time having a cup of coffee or something. And he saw it or heard it and looked around and saw his daughter out there splattered out on the concrete. And he went out there and scooped her up and started praying. He started, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. You will live and not die in the name of Jesus. And his wife and son came that she had his son down there, and his wife told him, says, oh, Curry, said, she's gone. She's gone. He said, I'll tell you what, if you ain't got the faith to believe that she's not alive, said, you get out of here right now. And he run her out of there. 45 minutes later, that girl coughed up blood and started breathing, and she's out there in the ministry with him right now today. Praise God. Because of his faith, he wasn't going to accept anything else but what the word of God said. Now, he had to endure in his faith for 45 minutes sitting there pushing that girl, that little baby, up against the wall and said, you will live and not die, and then watching her crumble over. He did that many times. And then the last three times he did it, he pushed her up there and said, you're going to live and not die in the name of Jesus. She'd flop over. He'd do it again and said, you're going to live and not die in the name of Jesus. She'd flop over. The last time he did it, he said, you will live and not die in the name of Jesus. Pushed her up there and she started coughing and started breathing. He rushed her to the hospital then and said, nothing. She had no repercussions from anything because of his faith. Now, she was splattered out there. You can imagine from a second floor what a baby looked like. This was a baby like a two-year-old baby, between 1 and 2 years old. I forget what he said it was. From a second floor window hitting a concrete drive, what she looked like. He said she was a bloody mess. It seemed like every bone in her body was broken. But when she coughed that blood, everything started working. And that's the kind of faith that we have to have. You have to persevere, endure in your faith until you see it manifested. And I'm telling you, as a child of God, you have that power. We all have that power to do that. Anytime that you pray for somebody, you just believe in your heart. Hey, listen, when I pray, God shows up. Because who's inside of you? Who's inside of you? God comes out. You believe then. You start believing. It don't make any difference who it is. It can be your wife, your daughter. It can be your friend, your family member, any kind of. It doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference. If you have faith, you can bring them out of it. Because God said, not the doctors. It's God that said that I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Is death an enemy? You betcha. It's a big one, but we've got power over it. And I'm praising God every day because I'm learning more every day. Every time I see somebody in trouble and we start praying for them, I see a miracle because it always, here recently, it always comes to pass because of our faith. We're learning faith. All of y'all are learning faith. I know some of you have been through some great and big trials and you've learned a lot. And all we have to do from now on is just believe what we've learned and not step outside into the world again. Don't bring that flesh up off the cross again and start believing with the world. No, we're peculiar people. We believe what the Word of God says, and we always hang to it. It don't make any difference. It don't make any difference what kind of a situation you find yourself in. It doesn't. You just believe and you pray and you believe and you hang in there. Once you pray, you start thanking God. You praising God. That's what He loves to hear, because He knows, hey, this guy and this lady, they are praising me for something that they're looking for, that they said it has already happened. God loves our praises and our thanks to Him for the things that we've prayed for already. Remember what David said in the Real Good News. He said, our prayer should be 1% prayer and 99% of praise and thank you. God loves it. He covets our praises and our thanks to Him for the things that He does for us. And He sees that you're faithful. And when He sees that you're faithful, whoo, my goodness, look out. All the miracles that God has performed in the last 4,000 years are fixing to happen again, only on a larger and bigger scale, because He's got people like y'all and us here that believe what the Word of God says. And I praise God for it too, because God used one man to bring us into that, bring the knowledge or a bunch of men with faith over the years that we've read about, and we've read about what God has done in our life that has put that faith in us and allowed us to believe. And I just praise God for it too. I guess I can get down off my soapbox.
No, that was awesome. That was awesome. You know, because what I was really seeing is in a trial like this, I don't even know. I was, at the hospital 12, 14, I don't know, how long I was up there. But when you pray something, I mean, you pray it, then, all you can do is praise, because you've already prayed it, so you can praise the Lord and you can thank Him. But see, that's the awesomeness of, being baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in the Spirit. Because I mean, when you're in a situation like that, you've got that much time, you can just pray in the Spirit, and it's like, Lord, you know what she needs, you know what he needs, you just pray through me, and you just start praying in the Spirit. Then you're not, when you're in a situation where you're just quiet, then you can entertain those thoughts in your mind. But when you're praying in the Spirit and you're just kind of, being led of the Spirit, then if you get one of those negative thoughts in and you see it, say, no, I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus, and then you just go right back praying in the Spirit. And that's just an awesome gift. I just see it as just such an awesome gift to be able to just allow the Holy Spirit to pray through you. And that way you're just, because it's just, you've already prayed it. You just got to thank Him, believe it, and just anything you miss, let the Holy Spirit get. Amen? So, all right, anybody else have a thought or a comment?
Hi, Jim?
Hey, okay. Gaynold? Is that Gaynold or Leona?
I think there was two of us.
Okay, well, let's start with Gaynold and then bring Leon in.
Okay. I don't know. Am I coming through okay, or am I?
Yeah, you sound underwater. Great. You sound wonderful.
Not me, it's underwater. Like, I just wanted to share that I had no idea what was going on, but the Lord has really called me to intercede for our sister Holly for the last several days, and it was really intense yesterday morning. I didn't know anything, about anything, and then after I found out, it's like He is such a sovereign God, and He reaches out to people that are not even there, that haven't a clue, and has them pray. And I don't know, after I did find out what happened, it's just like, oh my goodness. And then this morning I asked for a verse by random. And I got Luke chapter 7, verse 6, and my finger was on the words, and Jesus went with them. And it's that the story of, you know, the centurion whose servant was very sick, and he sent someone else, you know, to get Jesus to come to his house. Well, then he felt that, you know, he really wasn't worthy to have Jesus at his house. And he says, you just say the word, and I know my servant will be healed. And I just, that, you know, just getting that scripture to me was such an encouragement this morning, you know, because, and then later in verse, I think it's 9, it says, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent, returning to the house, found the servant whole. And I just totally have believed that ever since I got that verse this morning, that total healing is coming to Holly. And I just, I guess I was in awe of just how the Lord works. And, you know, he works in your local fellowship as well as the fellowship, you know, out and about. And I just thank him because we can all be assured that when we are in need of prayer, he puts us on the heart of someone else to pray for us, even though we don't even have a clue of it, you know. And praying in the Spirit, that is what I was doing because I had no clue. I didn't know, but he certainly put her on my heart to pray. And so I did pray in the Spirit for several days for her. And so I just, the way he works is awesome. And I guess that's really all I wanted to share, but I just, it just really, I don't know, it's just an awesome thing to be a part of the body of Christ. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Hey, Tim, unmute.
I got it. So I was asking Gaynold, as far as, why don't you explain just how, you know, how you knew, or it was just something in your spirit where you knew you needed to pray for somebody? How did you know to go into intercession prayer?
Because he was bringing her up to me, her name.
So you actually got her name?
I did have her name. Yes, I did have her name. I knew who I was praying for, but I didn't know what I was praying for. So I prayed in the Spirit. Yes, I did. And that's why I just think, you know, we just cannot imagine how God works.
Hey, you know? Gaynold?
Yes, yeah?
Would you say from that God had this all planned out?
I would say he did, and he is going to touch many, many people through all of this, you know.
Amen.
It's widespread, and it's just an encouragement to know that he's going to use so many people, and, you know, and they may not even know how they're being used, but he's using them. He's using their prayers, and, it was just awesome. And then when I got that verse this morning, it's like that is, you know, you can't have much more confidence in that. I didn't think anyway. But anyway, I thought that was a very good word that I got. It was just, and Jesus went with them. That's where my finger was. And we know that he's right there.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, he's right there.
Hey, Tim?
Yes, sir.
Listen, there's a whole lot more to this story that we're going to have Holly on at some point in time. And she's going to give all of it, but there's a lot more people involved in it and a lot more good words in it. And this afternoon, I got one from Chris. And Chris, you want to tell us what the word was that you got for Holly about revival?
Well, I know I've had it in my heart all afternoon that Holly's full recovery is a sign of the coming revival.
Okay, well, you're not the only one that said that, so, you know, there's something to it. Looks like it's something to it.
Amen.
Amen. God is so awesome, you know, and that's where, yeah, I shared in the past where I had somebody, it was actually a realtor I knew, and she was heavy on my heart one day, and I talked to her a few days later, And I said, you know, I said, you were on my heart a couple days ago. And she said, oh, yeah, I had to go up to Ohio and pick up my dad, and I was in a terrible snowstorm, and the Lord did that so you would pray for me. And I realized I didn't pray for her. And this conviction came over me, and it was like, it was kind of neat. So now whenever anybody's heavy on my heart, I just, you know, just get into prayer, and I just pray for them. And that's what he's called to do. And as we do that is how we become intercessors. And then, you know, like what Daniel was sharing. Amen. Were you going to say something, Daniel? I guess not. I thought I wasn't. Okay. I thought I heard something in there. So, Leona, you were going to say something?
Yes. I also have testimonies, two, actually. I kind of answered tonight when I first came in that I was between Pharaoh's army and the Red Sea. excuse me. My situation is such that the Lord kind of will, I guess, teach us through our situations, you know. And this just happened to me, mine. And it built up. And the Lord has you. Well, we're all intercessors. If we're holding our ground in the Spirit. And for me, being in the Spirit means that we choose to stand in the supernatural, God's Word, instead of the natural, the old man. You've actually got two sets of reality. You're either going to bear witness through your speech to bind yourself to the natural law and the carnal mind, and then you're kind of obligated to live that out, or you're going to bear witness to the Word of God and trust in the power of God to bear witness to the Word that you're binding yourself to. So that's the food that you're going to eat, you know? And since our food is to do the will of the Lord, and He says He's already done certain things, then, you know, you could pretty much take it to the bank. Especially if He says that you can have whatever you ask for if His words abide in you. So I held my ground and I put the situation in the Spirit, held on to the Word of God, because I don't want to pay a temple tax. I don't want to pay a tax on any of my situations according to the natural by allowing myself to you know, come in agreement with the natural man. I don't want to pay a tax on that. So I kept it in the Spirit, and it broke. And just tonight, that Spirit broke in my situation, and it came, and now my situation is freed back up again. And I won't share what it was, but it was very powerful. It was so.
Praise the Lord.
I'm rejoicing that, you know, the Lord is not going to leave us. If we're honoring Him, He will honor us. If we're trusting in His power and being doers of His word and trusting Him to be our warrior. But if we get back into the flesh and wrestle with the situation, then the enemy keeps that whole thing alive. He keeps the flesh alive, and you're not getting anything from God because it makes you double-minded. You have to not let the situation call God's word a liar and flush that seed out. You've got to hold on to that seed, and you've got to rejoice that the Lord is not a liar, and you can't call God a liar. You just say, nope, God's word's the truth. And hold on to that word and start praising God. If you said it, oh my goodness, you can just say, oh, thank you, Lord, my burden's relieved. Okay, so that situation broke and my Red Sea opened tonight. Even as you guys were talking, it opened up tonight. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh my gosh, I'm feeling relief, you know, and
victory.
And then the other night, I was, it was actually the other morning, I got up and I had a toothache. And that immediately I started laughing because I know the Lord said that He'll give me everything that I asked for, you know, and I don't have I'm a son of the king. You know how Jesus told Peter, the sons of the magistrates don't pay a tax, and neither do the sons of God, you know. And we're tax exempt. So I say, Christ in me doesn't pay a tax on this temple. And so I said, I know I'm one flesh with the resurrected word of God. My Father feeds me His living word. And I receive it in Jesus' name. And right then, the living word I received freely from the Lord. Didn't have to earn it, nothing. And I probably even, you know, maybe ate something that might have spurred the toothache. You know, you can't earn these things. So I said, well, thank you, Jesus, your word's alive. And I'm one flesh with the living word, and thank you for feeding me. And there it was gone right there like that. So I think more and more as we just rest in the natural and don't find our life in the supernatural or in the natural, but rest in God's supernatural provision, enter into His rest, and let Him just feed us everything. Let Him feed us His word supernaturally. Then we're all going to get through just fine. It's just that it bruises our brains, and it's just foolishness to the world. But we have to, because we're not alive anymore. It's Christ in us, and He needs living food, living word, and He can only receive that as we receive that in Jesus' name by holding our hands out, right, and receiving that by faith from our Father, who it's His good pleasure to give us the kingdom. So I just rejoice, and I have, if He commands us to always say, whatsoever thing is of a good report, think on these things, it's kind of like a command to me, like I forbid you, it's against the law to bring an evil report into a temple of which Christ lives. It's kind of insulting, actually, I think. So anyway, I'm rejoicing over here, and you were saying, you know, get yourself around a bunch of people. I don't have a bunch of people. So even that one person plus God is the majority. Amen. So,
amen.
That's my testimony.
That's fantastic. I mean, that's what this fellowship is for, is just to, you know, share the victories. And but that's good. It's, you know, who's your alliance to? Is it the old man or the spirit man? Or, you know, yeah. Who are you going to serve? Who are you going to make your king? And you know, what kingdom are you part of? Are you part of this world and the carnal, or are you part of the kingdom of God? And it's really, that's a good point. Who are you going to bind yourself to? And are you going to stand on the word, or are you going to stand on what man says? So, but that's an awesome testimony. I'm glad you had a breakthrough. We're able to share it with the body here. That's awesome. Amen. All right, anybody else have a testimony I'd like to bring forth? Or a prayer request? Does anybody need prayer or want to pray for somebody?
Yes, actually, my dad has been in a lot of pain, and it's his foot. And I mean, my dad is a pretty stoic man, and he doesn't complain, but when you see tears in his eyes when he walks, you know he's putting up with a lot. And he is a believer, but yet help my unbelief, kind of, you know. And and I would just like to stand on behalf with y'all for the Lord to give him some relief. Because when we pray for him, we're really praying for ourselves, because it's the body of Christ, you know. And that's our body, and we can command. off of our body, you know.
Amen. So what's your dad's name, Leona?
Winston.
Winston, okay. Well, let's put our faith together for Winston.
And thank
you. So, Father, right now, Leona's heart is for her dad. He, you know, she sees him in pain, and Lord, we just lift up Winston right now. And Lord, we just speak to that pain, whatever's causing that pain, and we know that it's already been taken care of at the cross, and we're just claiming that right now, that Winston is healed. We rebuke that pain right now. We call his leg healed in the name of Jesus, and we just thank you for the victory. And Lord, we just thank you for just filling Winston full of faith. And we just come against any lies in his head. We just bind up those lying spirits right now in the name of Jesus. And we just ask you, you just anoint him and just fill him fresh with your faith, Lord. And that he will see you in this and give you the glory. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Okay, awesome. Winston, you are healed. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else want to pray or need prayer? I have somebody on their heart they'd like to pray for. Any other testimonies or revelation knowledge? What's on your heart? God's showing you. Mike Montana, you got anything tonight? Like to share?
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
I got a little something here I'd like to share, if I could.
Okay.
Well, I've always admired John G. Lake and the faith that man had. And I'd like to relate to you what happened to him when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It's really interesting. What happened to him? He sought many years for that. This is from a diary entry that he made. And it says, in October 1907, the Lord in his goodness baptized me with the Holy Ghost after several months of deep heart searching and repentance unto God at the home of a friend in company with Brother Thomas Hesmalhack. Was called to my home at Zion City, Illinois, to invite me to accompany him to pray for a sister who was an invalid and had been in a wheelchair for a number of years. Now, I know this from reading other things about John G. Lake. He would cry out to, he'd be walking down the street of all things and cry out to God, in a loud voice, you know, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit and things like that. And people would look at him like he was nuts, you know. Anyway, it says, and as we entered the home, I felt a great calm resting upon me. I did not feel to join in the conversation. And Brother Tom proceeded to instruct the sister from the word concerning healing. And I sat in a deep leather chair on the opposite side of the room. My soul was drawing out in a great silent heart cry to God. Oh, Jesus, I so long for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but I feel so unworthy, so far from thee. Oh, Christ, if it be possible to baptize such as me, please baptize me. I am so hungry, so tired of trying, so weary of doing things myself. I am sick of sin. Sick of self, sick of trying, and sick of working. And he'd go on and on and on. And he said, presently, a great quiet came upon me, deepening rapidly into a peace such as I had never known before or experienced. A quiet of spirit, soul, and body. My being was soothed in a perfect calm, so deep and so quiet. My mind was perfectly still. I said, oh, Jesus, what is this? This calm of God. Is this the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Presently, It seemed as if I had passed under a warm, tropical rain that was falling not upon me, but through me. The realization of peace was such as I had never known, and the rain continued to fall upon me and through me. Oh, the rest of soul, oh, the quiet of God, oh, the peace of that hour, the peace I cannot describe that passes all understanding. This condition of peace was so great, I feared to breathe. It was as the silence of heaven. The saving rain continued to fall upon me. It soothed my brain. It soothed my body. It soothed my spirit. Would it ever stop? I feared it might. I said, oh God, I did not know that there was such a place of rest as this. And then I became conscious of a change coming over me. Instead of the rain, currents of power were running through me from my head to my feet, seemingly into the floor. These shocks of power came intermittently, possibly 10 seconds apart, and they increased in voltage until after a few minutes, my frame shook and vibrated under these mighty shocks of power. And then as I shook and trembled, the shocks of power followed each other in more apparent rapidity and intensity. My forehead became sealed. My brain in the front portion of my head became inactive, and I realized the Spirit speaking of His seal in their foreheads. I could have fallen on the floor except for the depth of the chair in which I sat. Again, a change. The shocks of power lessened intensity and now have taken hold of my lower jaw. It moved up and down and sideways in a manner new to me. My tongue and throat began to move in a manner I could not control. Presently, I realized I was speaking in another tongue, a language I had never learned. Oh, the sense of power, the mighty moving of the Spirit in me, the consciousness it was God who had come. And then Clayton came and suggested, it's not real power. It's only your imagination. There are not currents of real power. It's only psychic phenomena. I said, it's power. I know it, and God in His loving mercy proved it to me. And at this point, Brother Tom, not yet having observed what the Lord was doing with and to me, motioned me to come to pray with the sick woman. As I stood up, I was trembling so violently, I was afraid to put my hand on her head. Knowing the honeycomb state of the bone in many rheumatic cripples, I was afraid lest the trembling of my body might dislocate the rigid neck. It occurred to me to touch the top of her head with just the tips of my fingers only, permitting the joints of my fingers to be as thus, no jar to the sick one. As I touched her head, I could feel the currents of power shoot through me into her, and Brother Tom was still so engaged with the sister, he had not yet observed that Jesus had baptized me. I opened my mouth wide, thus not permitting the moving of my tongue to produce sound. Presently, Brother Tom said, let us pray. At the same instant, and taking one of the sister's hand, at that instant, a shock of power shot through me and down through the sister into Brother Tom. He instantly dropped her hand and drew back, apparently not realizing what happened. He again lifted the hand and started to pray. As he prayed, the Spirit deepened me, and I could keep the sounds back no longer. As I prayed, the Spirit prayed through me in another tongue unknown to me. For years, I had been used of God in laying hands on the sick. God had given wonderful healings at times, but there was no seeming continuity of healing power. As I prayed, the Spirit said, what shall I give you? I said, oh, Jesus, my soul has coveted the gift of healing. Well, it goes on into something else here. It says the entry is updated, and it seems to follow the previous one. But what happened to Brother Tom? I read in another case of it, was that when that power went through him the second time, it knocked Brother Tom plumb across the room. And a lady got up and she was completely healed. that was the power of God running through that man's body at the time when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So I thought that was interesting, the way God baptized Brother John G. Lake at that time. And there's so many more awesome revelations that God did for him. Great and wonderful, mighty. I remember a story about him, if I can. When he left Africa, I've read this in one entry, and I don't remember where I read it, but I read it. And the way it happened, the way they told it, was when his wife died, and he stayed there another 2 or 3 years, and it was just too hard on him, and so he had to come back to the States. And as he was going to the shipyard to get on the ship, you know, there was a flock following him, wanted him to pray for him. And he was going through town, walking through town, going toward the shipyard, the ship that he was going to go back to the States in, and his family. And what he did was, this is the way it was told in where I read. I don't know if it happened or not. That's the only place I can find it. But he put his hand on a post over there in the middle of that town, or somewhere close to that middle of that town, and he said, all who touch this post from this point on will be healed in the name of Jesus. And he left and came back to the States. And they said that over 10,000 people touched and believed that God healed them after he had left Africa. They'd go over and they'd hit that post and they'd pray and they'd believe what Lake told them and what God had said, and they were healed. And I've seen it happen with pieces of cloths and stuff. We used to send those out and we'd get back all kinds of testimonies of healings after they'd opened it up and they'd grab a hold of it and God would just heal them. I've heard that happen many, many times over the years. So, you know, it could have happened that way. That's the way I like to believe it anyway. Praise God. That's all I got, Tim.
Michael?
Hey, Leona.
Yeah,
well,
Leona.
You know, there's something about Crib Lake. I remember in his testimony that he had noticed that people were really being healed over and over again. And he went home one night and he said, but Lord, I got sin in my life, you know, and you're healing all these people through me. And the Lord spoke back to his heart and said, yeah, I know, I see that, and I'm going to deal with you on that later. And it put the fear of God on him, and he quick repented of that. But it just goes to show you cannot earn God's salvation. You cannot earn your blessing or your healing. It is something that God just gives freely and without repentance. So you could just take it. You don't have to look at, you know, what you did or what you didn't do. You just say, Lord, you said it was mine in Jesus' name. But, you know, I'm sure the Lord would appreciate it if you just loved him because of his goodness and not just because he was the one that fed the multitudes and healed their sicknesses, you know, because you don't want him to say to you, I never knew you. You want to have a relationship that's precious with the Lord and enjoy the benefits of the kingdom too. I mean, it's just wonderful all around. But no, he just gives it free and clear right across the board. And Curry will even say, if you're here to try to sow to a blessing, I don't want your money, I don't want your tithe, just keep it to yourself. You're going to give freely, give out of your heart. So,
well, amen. You know, John G. Lake, his whole ministry, even when he started out, he was a rich man. This guy was paid over $100,000 a year by the insurance companies around. He was head of all the insurance companies for some kind of a board or something he was head of, and they paid him over $100,000 a year. He gave every bit of that away before he went to Africa And he relied on complete faith in God, and it was miracle after miracle after miracle. He was going down to get the tickets, didn't have a nickel in his pocket. Somebody came up and gave him $2,000. That's what he needed to get over there. He got over there, and he got off the boat. He didn't know where he was going or how, where he was going to lay. He had his wife and five kids with him. He got off the boat, and there was a lady said, "Are you John G. Lake?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, the Lord told me to give you a house." Gave him a house, you know. And it's just like that all the time. When he was believing God and trusting God, miracles happen. Same way, look, he's not a respecter of person. And Leona's right. She has a good point there about you can still be in sin and the gifts can still be in operation. That doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. There are all kinds of ifs in the Word of God. You got to bear the fruit of Jesus Christ in your life before you can go to heaven. 30, 60, and 100-fold. Isn't that what the Word said? That's what the Word said. So we have to go by what the Word says and not what people tell us. You know, it don't make any difference what kind of gift that God gives you. You still have to walk that sanctified life. Okay, Tim, I'm through.
Well, that's fine. No, that's really a good point. I mean, as far as that, because some of us, you know, it's like, you know, we're trying to get cleaned up so God can use us, but he's just looking for a willing vessel. And he's going to deal with the sin, but he just is looking for a willing vessel that's got faith, that is willing to not succumb to the fear of man or whatever it is, and just start, get out there and start praying for some people. And he's going to, you know, he's going to honor that. He's just looking for faith, right? So, the Lord had me in, does anybody else have a comment on that? Lord had me this, I mean, the last couple of days, you know, just kind of looking at, I was in 2 Corinthians 11, you know, when Paul was talking about the, comparing himself to the deceitful workers, you know, that had fashioned themselves as ministers of righteousness, but he was saying they were actually false, you know, apostles of Christ. And he compared them to Satan, you know, who fashioned himself as an angel of light. And I was just saying that, you know, many can, you know, transfigure or disguise themselves as ministers of Christ. And but under that disguise, they could be walking in, you know, filthiness, you know, as far as that. And we see that. As far as, you know, in the church today. But only the Lord can, you know, transform us into the image of Christ. And, you know, that's really through the, you know, the baptism he puts us through. And that's, you know, the baptism of fire. And that's sort of like this trial we're in with Holly, and that is a baptism of fire that we're in right now. And that baptism really shows us where we're at with Christ, and you know, teaches us to put self to death, and you know, and a lot of times there's no better place to start these trials is in the wilderness, you know. And I was really seeing is when, you know, Jesus was, you know, led into the wilderness. I think it was back in. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, was led in the Spirit into the wilderness. And, you know, I was just really seeing that, you know, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, and that's really what we need to be, is just baptizing that Holy Spirit, that we need to be led into that wilderness. And that's where, you know, Satan was, you know, tempting him. And, you know, so we go out into that wilderness, and, you know, when we're in that wilderness, we get away from the world, we get away from the television, we get away from the computer, you know, we get away from the distractions, you know, because the, you know, when I looked up wilderness, it's, you know, it basically says a desert, a land or region uncultivated and uninhibited by humans, you know, so... a place of, you know, the wilderness, you know, we can go And really, it's a place, you know, because in one area it said that, you know, Jesus went into the wilderness to pray, you know, so it's a place to, you know, press into the Lord. But at the same time, it's a place where Satan is, you know, and he's going to tempt our flesh. He's going to tempt our unbelief. He's going to, you know, that's where we're going to grow in our, you know, our faith. But at the same time, you know, I saw when, you know, Jesus was out, you know, with the disciples and the multitudes, and it says that they were out, you know, in the wilderness, and Jesus was, you know, teaching them out there, and they were out there for, you know, I think it was 3 days or something, and they didn't have any food. You know, they were out there fasting, just learning from the, you know, learning from Jesus, you know, for 3 days he was out there teaching them. And then that's when he multiplied the fishes and the loaves. So out in the wilderness, you know, if they were in the city, they would have all the bread and fish that the stores and, you know, their money could buy. But when they were out in the wilderness, they were at a place of weakness. And I was really seeing that's where the miracles show up, is when you're in that place, you know, that desert, you know, type situation. And, you know, just like, you know, Moses and the, you know, the, you know, when they went through the, you know, it says that they went, you know, through the Red Sea into the wilderness, and the same thing. That's when the, you know, the manna, you know, fell out of heaven, and, you know, the water came out of the rock and stuff like that. But, so I was in 2 Corinthians, and it was Paul, and he says, are they ministers of Christ? He says, I more in labors more abundantly. And that labor is not in works. It, when I looked that up, it's pains, it's troubles, it's weariness. So he's saying that, you know, I dealt with pains and troubles and weariness more abundantly in stripes above measure. And stripes is, you know, wounded beyond measure, or wounded by others excessively. And, you know, and those wounds are, you know, and we deal with it with our families and situations where, you know, we're being wounded by others around us, or, you know, different things that are going on, but it's really all in, you know, in perfecting us. And it's all orchestrated of the Lord to see if we're going to love, if we're going to forgive, or are we going to turn to that carnal man and get angry and retaliate, you know? So, you know, we deal with these wounds of other people, and those wounds, I mean, it could be from our family, it could be from other Christians or people that call themselves Christians, it could be from the people we work with and that, but it's stripes above measure. And I think we're all going through that as far as that. And then this was a revelation I saw, and it says, in deaths oft, and they didn't even spell it out. It was kind of hidden in there, and that's death many times. And, you know, when we're in our carnal mind, well, you only die once, but when you're walking in the spirit, it's deaths oft. You know, we're dying many times, or frequently dying to self. And, you know, and that's something, you know, I just, when I, you know, you read through it, it says, oh, death often, you know, we're going to have many deaths. And it says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned. And I kind of saw that as that, you know, especially the religious people around us love to lay many wounds on you, and, you know, they want to protect their doctrine, you know, even if it takes picking up the rod or picking up stones to shut you up, you know. And, you know, so that's something in the spirit that, you know, we're always having stones thrown at us, or, you know, they're coming after us with the rod because they want to protect, you know, their doctrine, or the, you know, or the world doesn't want to hear what we have to say, You know, they don't want to hear about Christ, or they don't want to hear about the promises or that, so they pick up their rods and their stones. It says, thrice I was shipwrecked, a night and a day have I been in the deep. And if God, you know, thinks you need to be, you know, hit bottom, you know, to get your attention, you know, he's going to wreck your ship. And, you know, and I, you know, we've seen this in our lives, you know, where all of a sudden, you know, even with me, with my business, all of a sudden he just pulled the rug out and financially everything was collapsing around me. But he did that to get my attention. He sunk my ship. And if he needs to do that, you know, to get you into the word, get you into the water, you know, he's going to sink your ship. And Paul goes on and says, you know, journeyings often. And I kind of joke with, you know, Michael and David and some of the people in the ministry that we should change the name to UBMM, Unleavened Bread Moving in Ministries, because we're journeying often. You know, I know we've moved three times in the last few years, and a lot of other people, you know, moved a few times and that, but it's just, it's all part of that, you know, part of that crucified life. As far as that, you need to be where the Lord wants you, you know. He says, in perils of rivers, and I saw that, you know, the perils of rivers is running water or, you know, current or the flood. And, you know, so I was seeing that we're going to be tried with waters to see how solid our residence is for Christ, you know, as he talks about in Luke. And why ye call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say. Everyone that cometh unto me and heareth my word and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who digs and went deep and laid a foundation upon the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But he that heareth and does not is like a man that builds a house upon the earth, which is the world, without a foundation, against which the streams break and straightway it fell in, and the ruin of the house was great. And, you know, we know we're building our house, and, you know, that peril of the river is coming, and we need to be, you know, on the rock. You know, we need to be broken on the rock and not, you know, smash the smithereens below the rock as far as that. But so it's really, you know, where our, you know, foundation is, and it needs to be on the rock in Christ. So when those perils of rivers or the floods come, that, you know, the house isn't washed away. Then he talks about perils of robbers. And, you know, I was really seeing that there's a lot of thieves out there, you know, who are lawless and like to plunder and really don't have any understanding of the word, but, you know, use the word to plunder, you know, the flock and get their needs met, not necessarily meet the needs of the, you know, the brethren around them. And, but that's, you know, something that, as a type, I was saying, it says perils from countrymen and perils from the Gentiles. And I was saying that your nation or your generation or your offspring and the heathens around you are all going to be used of God to test you. And that's all pretty much to see, you know, who you're going to manifest. You know, same situation. Are you going to manifest love and patience unto Christ, or are you going to, you know, manifest, you know, anger and retaliation unto that old man and unto that Antichrist? You know, so, you know, even God's put the, you know, the countrymen and the Gentiles around us, you know, to put us in perils. And he talks about the perils in the city and the perils in the wilderness and perils in the sea. And, you know, if you stay in Babylon or you journey out into the wilderness, willingly or unwillingly, or even if you're running away from God, like Jonah out in the sea, you know, you're gonna be in perils. You're gonna be tempted. You're gonna be tried. You're gonna be provoked. And there's no running away or hiding, you know, from God. So you can go freely into the wilderness. You can try to hide out in the city in Babylon. You know, you can try running away, getting on the boat, crossing the sea, whatever. But you know, God's going to deal with you. And then he talks about perils among false brethren. And, you know, we all experience this is, you know, when you're in the church, you think everybody's your brethren. When you come into more and more of the truth and you really see who your brethren are, that there's a lot of false brethren out there. You know, there's false prophets, false teachers, false apostles, you know, false witnesses. You know, it's just there's all these people that call themselves Christians, but they have no fruit. And, you know, and they're going to put us in perils as far as that. And that's been some of my recent, you know, that I've shared last over the few months is my perils have been with people that call themselves Christians that don't have the fruit. And we need to be very careful because we can start judging them. And, you know, I saw the other night, or actually it was the other day in a Bible study where we were just, somebody brought up the church that they came out of and the teaching and that. And as they were talking about it, they were all getting all stirred up and you could see the anger and the frustration and everything coming out of that person. And I turned to that person, I said, you need to forgive. You know, because I just saw that flesh just get stirred up talking about the situation they came out of. We need to forgive those people because, you know, those are the perils of false brethren. And that's all part of our perfection, that, you know, the Lord put them into our lives. And, yeah, maybe we were hurt by them or maybe they, you know, whatever the situation is, you know, they talked us out of a lot of our money thinking it was, you know, honoring the kingdom or whatever it is. We got to forgive. It's all part of what the Lord has put us into as far as that, because, you know, if we judge them or get angry at them, that's unforgiveness, and we're going to be brought into bondage and we're going to be turned over to the tormentors, and, you know, we're going to have to go through that trial again. So it's just, it's a matter of, you know, just as part of the perils that we got to forgive. We got to just, I mean, that's, we can't change what we went through. We got to love them. We got to pray for them. We got to speak blessings over them. You know, Galatians says, because of false brethren privily brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And it says, in labor and in travail and in watchings often, you know, so like a woman in travail, a woman in childbirth, you know, we're brought into that toil or trouble or weariness, you know, that painfulness or, you know, just the emotions of, you know, we get stirred up in sadness or whatever it is, that, you know, that's all part of it. It says, you know, in watchings often, and, you know, that's staying awake. That's we've all had it, situations where, you know, we're dealing with something and we can't get that off our mind. We're not sleeping. We're dealing with it, you know. It's just, you know, this is all part of it. It's in hunger and in thirst and fastings often. And, you know, I'm just seeing where the death itself is, you know, is really in the fastings, the hungerings, the thirstings. That's all part of it. You know, this is all, you know, a key point of, you know, coming into, you know, perfection is dealing, you know, with this. And he says, in cold and nakedness and all these trials and temptations and buffetings and insults and hurts and anguishes and persecutions and distresses, and it's all to expose our weakness so that the miracles of Christ, you know, can be revealed in us. You know, that's all the perfecting. And 2 Corinthians 12:7 says, and by reasonings of the exceeding greatness of our revelations, which is, you know, Christ being revealed in us, that I should not be exalted over much. So there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, that I should not be exalted over much. You know, so it's a matter of we cannot be exalted over much. We cannot build self up. You know, we cannot lift up self. That there was given to me, and it was given by the Lord, a thorn in the flesh. And that's, you know, these are all those buffetings, all those things was, you know, was to buffet us, to buffet our flesh. Concerning these things, I besought the Lord twice, and it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's really, you know, that's what I was experiencing last night when the rubber meets the road and you're in a place of total weakness. I mean, that's where God's power, you know, is going to come through. And we're starting to see that, you know, the testimonies and stuff like that. But he's got to bring us to that point of weakness so we can just get our eyes on him, trust in him, believe, and just, you know, just go forth. We can't be in worry and fear and, you know, of all these things, you know, that are coming against us, the, you know, the hungering, the thirst, the trials, the you know, all these things that we're going through. It says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weakness, in injuries, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So when the flesh is humbled, when the flesh is weak, when the flesh is dead, then the power of Christ is made strong. And that's the, you know, that's the whole attempt of these, you know, these trials that, you know, that we're going through, is to, you know, humble, bring that flesh to humility, bring us to a place of weakness, take out the old man so the power of Christ can be made strong. Hebrews 2:10 says, for it become him for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, make the author of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So these, you know, these temptations was to cause suffering, and so not to be drawn into sin, but perfecting us, you know, perfecting our salvation through the suffering, you know, as Christ was tempted and suffered, you know, without sin, you know, he was able to relate to us and help us in our suffering, that, you know, we didn't, you know, don't get drawn into sin, but we get drawn into, you know, our salvation, you know, through these things. 2:16 says, for verily, not to angels does he give help, but he gives help to the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it behooved him in all things to be made like unto his brethren, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. So, you know, Christ basically was, you know, he was made in that, you know, image of the fleshly man, but he had a divine nature that he did not succumb to the sin nature. So by example, that divine, you know, his divine nature in us, or the Christ in us, has overcome our sin nature, so that that tempting is to expose our sin nature so we can be perfected through that suffering and receive our true salvation, you know, through the mercy and grace of the Lord. And it's just, I mean, that's all part of the plan, that it's just his nature in us has already overcome that sin nature. He's just exposing it so we can, you know, put it to death. So Hebrews 4:14 says, having then a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities or weaknesses, but one that hath been in all points tempted like as are we. Yet without sin, let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help us in the time of need. And that's really what it's all about. It's just, it's drawing into that grace. It's receiving the mercy. It's, standing fast, to what we're confessing. You know, standing bold as far as, you know, hold fast our confession. And because we've got a high priest, but that it is already overcome it in our, his divine nature in us has already overcome that. So we just, he's going to provide the mercy and the grace. And, in Hebrews, Paul was talking about the great men and women, you know, the prophets of God that walked in faith and the trials they experienced. He's got a whole list of those. And he says that, you know, who through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, waxed mighty in war, turned to flight armies of aliens, women received their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. So, you know, he talks about faith and just all the miracles as far as, you know, acquiring kingdoms and coming into righteousness and, you know, promises made and stopping the mouths of lions and, you know, in the fiery furnace and walking out and, you know, just all these things that, you know, took on huge armies with very little men and the Lord prevailed and, you know, just all these things that happened. They were, you know, being tortured in the flesh, not allowing the flesh to live to obtain a resurrection life of the Spirit in Christ. And the church is going to receive, you know, their dead by resurrection. And that's what I really see as the revival that's coming is all, the dead in Christ is going to receive they're going to be resurrected into what, you know, the true Christ is, the Christ in them, not, you know, just believe and receive. And it says, and others had trials of mockings and scourgings. And, you know, this ministry's been through that with the factious and all that. Moreover, of bounds and imprisonments, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and in the holes of the earth. You know, and he's talking about all this, and, you know, we're living in our homes with air conditioning and flushing toilets and wearing our Levi jeans in Columbia, you know, outer garments, and, you know, we're complaining about the mockings that we're receiving, and, you know, from our religious family members and the, you know, the people that don't understand about walking in faith and stuff like that. And I mean, these guys are being sawn in two and all kinds of, you know, temptations and, you know, living in the, you know, holes of the earth. And these all, having had witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise. So they were walking in the faith that they knew. They were seeing the miracles of God, the powers, you know, still went through all these scourgings and imprisonments and being destitute and, you know, wearing animal skins and living in the holes of the earth, and they're being martyred and stoned and cut in half and slain by the sword, and it says they received not the promise. And it says, God having provided some better things concerning us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. And, you know, I just really saw that God has provided for us something better, the ability to be made perfect, not in the flesh, but in the spirit of Christ, that we can be, you know, perfected. And he's given this, and most Christians just take that by granted. You know, they've just made it a very, well, yeah, I've accepted Jesus type thing, but have, you know, they don't want to go through any, you know, mockings, scourgings, anything like that. And, you know, but that's all part of the crucified life. But we've got the promise, and that is to come into the perfection of Christ. And it says, now these things happened unto them by way of example. And so all these great men of God were our example, and they were written for our admonition, and that's basically that we need to pay attention, that this is a warning for us, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he falls. So, I mean, it says, to whom the end of the ages are come. And that's where we're at right now. I mean, we're at the end of the ages. And, you know, and it says, we need to pay attention. That if you think it that you stand, you need to pay attention lest he falls. So if you think you're abiding in Christ, you better be paying attention to, you know, to the sin you're in, or what you're doing, or, you know, where you're at, you know, so you don't fall. Because most of the church says they're just, you know, once saved, always saved. But we know better than that. There has no temptation taken you, but such as a man can bear. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make it also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it. And so God is allowing all the temptations and bringing the trials and the tribulations so we can be made perfect. You know, he will never give us anything that we can't handle. He's always going to provide a way of escape. And the way of escapes, you know, is through the truth and through his promises that he's given us, and, you know, in his word, in his good news, and, you know, that he's provided us through the word. And we just have to hold fast to that. James 1 and 11 says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes and the dissensions, greeting. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptation, knowing that the proving of your faith work is patience, and that patience has its perfect work, that's perfection, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacketh wisdom, let him ask God, who gives it to all liberally, and unbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. And that's the promise right there. If you feel you're lacking wisdom, all you got to do is ask. But you need to be obedient. You can't just ask for wisdom and not be in the Word. I mean, he's going to open up your eyes. He's going to open up your spirit, and he's going to pour that wisdom in as you put that seed in. You got to put that seed in so he can water it and allow it to grow. But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting, for he that doubteth is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let not that man think it that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But let the brother of low degree glory in his high estate, and the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. The sun ariseth with the scorching wind, and withers the grass, and the flower thereof fall, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his goings. So that's in his ways, in his path, you know, that we need to be not doubting, that we need to be standing on the wisdom that the Lord has given us, and standing in the faith that he has given us, and being patient, and letting that patience have its perfect work in us to bring us into that perfection. So, you know, we're told that blessed is the man that endureth temptations, for when he has been approved, and that's what this is all about, proving us, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. So we need to endure to be approved, to receive the promise. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man. So God does not tempt us, but he allows the devil to tempt us. And most of the time we're the ones opening up the door to the devil to be tempted. It says, so it's just all part of the, you know, the trials as far as that. Kind of bring a full circle and to the things that we're going through, being, you know, the trials, temptations, you know, things as far as that. So that's all I've got. Does anybody have any thoughts?
Yep, those temptations come many at a time sometimes, don't they? And you know what's funny, well, not funny, but it's you can pretty much tell when the devil knows you're weak, because he'll come through that door that he always comes through, that you always fail at. It seems like to me, anyway, and he'll find a little daylight, and he'll slip right through. And next thing you know, you're being tempted. And what you do with that temptation determines if you're an overcomer or not. You know, we fail a little bit here and we fail a little bit there maybe, but, you know, if you just pick yourself back up, I believe it was David or somebody said that, I heard a preacher say that, you know, you stumble here, but the next time you won't stumble as hard. And then the next time you won't stumble as much either. And then finally, you'll just be an overcomer through that particular temptation. So just pick yourself back up. Don't get yourself into self-condemnation. And, boy, God's grace will just be all over you. Amen. Em, unmute yourself.
Thank you, Michael. What would I do without you, man?
Oh, man, I know. Well, I've been caught at doing the same thing.
So, all right, we're kind of wrapping up here. Does anybody have any last prayer that they would like, or any last words or anything they would like to share before we close out tonight? Any thoughts, anything that's on their heart?
Holly is healed in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father, for her complete restoration. I better get that.
Okay. All right, well, let's thank you, Lord, for that miracle. We thank you that Holly is healed. We're proclaiming the good report, and we're just praising you and thanking you for just an awesome, awesome Father you are. We're just thanking you for this testimony. So, Father, we just come to you tonight, and we just thank you for just everything you're doing in our lives, Lord. We thank you for this time, this fellowship to come together and just hear your testimonies, hear your truths, hear your word. We just thank you for just setting Leona free. We just thank you for what you're doing in Gaynold as far as, putting Holly on her heart and 2 days before this whole thing hit. And you're just an awesome, awesome Father. And we just praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, just teach us all to be intercessors, Lord, to when you put people on our heart, to be, apt to pray for them and to be used of you. And to just be led of your Spirit, Lord, and not allow the distractions of the world and our business and that to hamper how you want to use us or distract us. And Lord, we just thank you for that, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for just working in all of us, for your good pleasures, bringing us through these trials and that to bring us into more perfection of Christ and just exposing what is in us. We praise you for that, Lord. And Father, we just ask you just bless everybody's week this week and just continue to give them a hunger for truth and open up their spiritual eyes and just give them just revelation knowledge as they're in the Word. And we just thank you for that, Lord. And we just ask, Lord, that you just continue to pour out your gifts, Lord. You just teach us to walk in the gifts that you have given us and not to succumb to fear of man or be distracted, by our flesh. That you just perfect those gifts in us, Lord. And we just thank you for speaking to us in our dreams. Lord, help us all to remember our dreams. Give us just discernment of what you're speaking to us in our dreams. That you can bring warning, direction, or where you want us, in those dreams. So, Lord, we thank you for those dreams. We thank you for those visions, Lord. We thank you for all these things that you're perfecting in us, Lord, and just we just praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, saints, it's been an awesome night, and there's going to be more testimonies to come. We just love you guys, and we'll see you all next week.